license because just last week I was at the motorcycle shop getting my motorcycle fixed, and I was taking a walk, and along came two Mormons. There's a point to this. Two Mormons on bicycles, and they came riding by, and they stopped because as I was walking, because I smiled at them, and I said, "Well, it's good to see you, Mormons. How are you?" And they said, "How did you know we're Mormons?" And I said, "Well, the white shirts and the tie at 100-degree weather on bicycles sort of gave you away." So on the side of the road, we talked for 45 minutes. We talked, and they really didn't count on someone knowing more about their faith than they did, really. No offense, but to talk with them. And we ended up praying. I prayed for those Mormons because I communicated to them as clearly as I could that the difference between what Mormons believe and what we as Christians believe, Orthodox Christians believe, is that we are saved by faith and saved by faith alone. That we are saved not because of how good we are and how well we do with our families and how well we do with all the different things before us, but we're saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, and we throw ourselves into that. And they agreed that their faith taught that it was grace and works that saved them, as they thought. But they were confused about what really did save them. And so in Woodbridge, Virginia, on the side of the road, I prayed for those Mormons, and I told them that if anybody would earn heaven, it would be Mormons because you're so good. But the fact is outside of Jesus Christ, there's no salvation. Which brings us to this passage. This passage is an amazing passage that tells us basically that we have been given a body of information and are to pass it on to others, or there will be consequences and a result. And some of us would say we're seeing that in this world in which we live now because we have neglected to pass on to the generations that we have been entrusted to the gospel and the body of information that is necessary for salvation, necessary for growth, and necessary for revival. In this passage which we read, and I'll read it again, it's Psalm 78. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn to it. I don't know if I'm reading from the same translation you are, but basically says the same. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. It's basically saying, bend your ear. Hear what I have to say. This is important. I will open my mouth with a parable, with riddles, with something that someone will not everyone will understand, but you can understand, that has a meaning, a hidden meaning. I will utter hidden things, things from old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. Last month, I preached at a retirement center with 150 people above the age of 75. And I always wonder, I preach there quarterly, and I love preaching to them because I'm a youth pastor. And they're just about the same, except they drool. But I was preaching to them, and the passage that I was asked was 2 Timothy 2:2, about handing on to the next generation. And I ended the time asking them, would they be willing to take the faith that they have and transport it and impart it to their grandchildren? Because I asked how many had grandchildren, and 9 out of 10 of them raised their hands. And I said, some of your grandchildren have not heard the gospel. They've not heard of Jesus Christ because your children didn't tell them. You only have a few more years on this earth. Will you tell them? I had no idea the impact that I made on those grandparents. tears began to flow. And usually when you stand in the back door, they shake your hand and say, nice sermon, whether it's a nice sermon or not. Johnny, that's just a hint. Everybody says it's nice. They always say it's nice. They have to say it's nice. What else are they going to say? Invite you to lunch? I mean, you know, that's it. But this time, tears were flowing, and somehow I struck a chord. And they said things like this, I'm gonna call right now my granddaughter. At first I thought they were angry at me. I'm going to call my granddaughter, and I'm going to tell her about my faith. And that group of elderly, I don't know exactly what happened, but they caught the vision to impart what they had received to their grandchildren, who may or may not have understood. And lunches and dinners and meetings occurred where it was imparted. Let me go back to the passage. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them, verse 4, from their descendants. We will not hide them. One version says we will not keep it from them. I think we keep the gospel from our kids. I think we keep that body of information from our kids. I think we hide it because of neglect. I think we keep it from them because of priorities. I think that we spend more time on other things. I have a quote here from Socrates. Can I read this quote from Socrates? He was a wise man. And this is what he said. Socrates, the ancient Greek philosopher, once wrote, could I climb the highest places in Athens, I would lift up my voice and proclaim, fellow citizens, why do you turn and scrape every stone to gather wealth and take so little care of the children to whom you must someday relinquish it all? What do we pass on to the next generation? In America, it's the idea of the American dream and wealth. But as believers, will we pass it on? We will not hide them from their descendants, it says. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power and the wonders He has done. About redemption. That we can tell this next generation about redemption. And how do we tell them? We tell them in stories. We tell them by sitting with them and let them knowing. We tell them by reading it, what it says in Deuteronomy 6, which was the Shema. The Shema that the Old Testament, back in the Old Testament, the Jews would repeat almost every day, Orthodox Jews. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts, internalized. Internalized. And then he says how. God says how we're to communicate them. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home. Turn the TV off. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them in the door frames of your houses and your gates. We do it as we go along. As we take those trips, we go on those journeys that we have. Those things that we have to communicate. You know, there was a man named Charles Francis Adams. He was a 19th century political figure. He was a diplomat, and he kept a diary. And one day he entered this in his diary. Went fishing with my son today. A day totally wasted. His son, Brooke Adams, also kept a diary, which is still in existence. On that very same day, Brooke Adams made this entry. went fishing with my father the most wonderful day of my life. The most wonderful day of my life. A wasted day? What we must do is look at this passage and see. The beginning of this passage talks about the call we have as believers, the call we have as parents, the call we have, the challenge and encouragement that is why we're on this earth and we're called. We are called by God to impart His message to others. If you are a parent, God has given you children to impart that message to. The first part of this passage is about the call that we have as believers. The second part of this passage is the content of the message, the content of our teaching. And that content is the praiseworthy deeds of our great and wonderful God. The fact that He can redeem anyone, that He can take someone and redeem them. He can take them wherever we were. We could go Friday. I went to a conference, and it was on personality disorders. Isn't that interesting? Personality disorders. And I first went, and I was sent there to learn how to relate to other people that have personality disorders. And I thought, this is great. So I thought about obsessive-compulsive personality disorders. I thought about those that have all these other personality disorders. And then I looked at it and these characteristics, and I saw myself. Myself. Oh, yeah. Antisocial, if you could believe it. Before the age of 16, I would have fit the antisocial personality disorder. You know what? The praiseworthy deeds and the great remarkable works of the Lord Jesus Christ, He can come into a life and redeem that person. He can take that person and change that person. Do you know that? We have the call in this passage that tells us that we're to impart what we've received and what we've got from God. We have the content of our instruction, the body of information that we know that we must pass along. And then the third part, which is the scary part, it's the consequences of our choices, the consequences of whether we do this at all, whether we do it and teach our children to trust in a mighty God, or as it says in this passage in one translation, to make them a generation with no firm purpose. A generation with no firm purpose. A generation that's rebellious. A generation that does not know God and does not know His ways. We have our call. Do you have the content? What is your call? What is the content? And what is your choice? Your choice is to hand on to the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we can be saved and redeemed. And it works like this. Could I have the Lowell? Is Lowell here? Where is Lowell? Lowell, could you bring your son John up here? Come on up here. I'm going to bring the two of you up here. Got a little illustration here. Now, come on up here. Now, I know, John, you're a swimmer, right? Yeah, you're a swimmer. Do relays? Do you ever do relays? Yeah, okay. Well, we're going to do a track relay, so come on up here. Lowell, I want you to stand right in the center here, and John, I want you over here, right here, right here, right here. Aren't you glad I got you today? Okay, here it is. Good. How many have ever run track here? Run track? Around the track, where you have that little, what's it called? Baton, what's it called? I can't remember. Yeah, track, okay? Here's how it goes. We'll go in slow motion, okay? Slow motion. As you're running, I'm running, right? And then he, looking ahead, with his hand stretched out, I put the baton in his hand and say, stick. He then, at first, we're running sort of alongside each other, aren't we? Yeah. And then he takes off, and I put it in his hand, and he is right there, run alongside your son for a step or two, and then you stick your hand out, sprint off, yes, sprint off, good, good. You didn't do that very well. Okay. Yeah. Put your hand out like this, right here. No, right, like that. Right like that, looking ahead, and you hand that to him. Good. And then he takes off. Okay. Very good. Give him a good hand. Let's try that one more time. Wait, let's try it one more time. We'll run alongside each other for two steps, okay? So first move on. Ready? We're running, running. Here we go. Stick. All right, they got it. We got it. They got it. Very good. Thank you so much. Thank you, Mike. I know it's difficult as a swimmer. Now, I don't need an email telling me that was a silly thing to do. I know it was. I did it. Because here's what happened. You have a call to hand on to the next generation. You have a call. This is the content of your instruction. But the consequences are, if you don't, we will create a generation with no firm purpose. But if we hand it on, it'll make a difference. It'll make a difference. The thing that most Americans are passing on to their kids is this. See it? Wealth, cash, money. And it will only go so far. What are you handing on to your young people? What are you handing on to them? The praiseworthy deeds of our God that can redeem any situation, that will come into a life and change a life. And for those of you who are not parents, let me tell you, to disciple someone is not a gift to a few Christians. It is not something that's a good suggestion that's nice. It is a command by the Lord Jesus that all you have received from him, you're in turn to pass on to others who will then pass on to others. That is the biblical method that was demonstrated by the Lord Jesus Christ, handed to Paul and Peter as they handed it down throughout the generations. My question, do you hear the call of Jesus? Do you hear the call from him that you have something to impart to someone else? Second, do you have the content of the teaching? Is it in part of your life? Or are you neglecting it? Are you hiding it? Are you for some reason keeping it yourself rather than passing it on? And then what's the consequence? The consequence is that you know that you have given to the generations that you're handing on faith in Jesus Christ, redemption that can change a person and make a difference. Well, four scholars were arguing over Bible translations. One said he preferred the King James Version because of its beauty, eloquent Old English. Another said he preferred the American Standard Bible for its literal interpretation, the way it moves the reader from passage to passage with confident feelings of accuracy from the original text. A third man preferred Moffat because of his quaint, penetrating use of words, the turn of a phrase that captures the attention of the reader. After giving the issue further thought, the fourth scholar admitted, "I personally preferred my mother's translation." When the other scholars chuckled, he responded, "Yes, she translated it. She translated each page of the Bible into life. It's the most convincing translation I've ever seen." What are you passing on to the next generation? What are you communicating? You are the scriptures to them that become alive. Would you receive the call from the Lord Jesus that he's put you on this earth for a purpose? Will you take the content of the praiseworthy deeds of our Lord God, who can redeem anyone and anything? And third, will you see the consequences of the choice as we hand it on to others and see others grow in their faith and multiplication occur? I challenge you to not just sit in church, but be the church. Not just sit on a Sunday and think, why does God have me here? But to think of the one or two people that you have been put around on purpose to communicate the gospel and build into their lives and go from here and make a difference. And maybe, just maybe, it's a child that can take what you have to offer and you can give the most wonderful day to. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you so much that your scripture rings true. That, Lord Jesus, that your plan is for us to communicate your redemptive love and grace to the next generation by relationship. May we run the race that you've put before us with faithfulness and bring into our heart and internalize the things we see from the scriptures, so we then may impart and pass them on to others who will then turn them on to others. And Lord God, may as a result of this, we see revival in this nation, revival in our churches, revival in our own hearts and families. Because you, Lord Jesus, want to come in and touch us with your grace and love. May everyone here, young or old, whatever state they're in, understand clearly how much you deeply love them and care for them, and that you have a plan for them that's beyond anything they've ever could imagine. In Jesus' name, amen. I